When America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Blair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostra Dennis. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Blair Adams, Nostra Dennis, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
Now we've done it. Our president is shocked, appalled, disappointed, and dismayed at the very thought that most Americans feel his nuke deal with Iran is not the best deal the U.S. can get. You know, it's almost as if we as a nation don't trust what our supreme leader says. And that almost brings a tear to my eye. I say almost because no one should believe this guy. But you can believe the American Adversaries Drive Time on AM 660. On AM 660, The Answer, streaming live tonight. Blair Adams back in the seat to introduce our shocked, appalled, and dismayed host, Christopher Hart.
Hey, thanks so much, Blair Adams, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being with us tonight. Especially want to thank you because that means you are listening to us on the stream, on a streaming signal, so to speak.
That's, even if you're shocked and appalled.
That's right, AM 660.
Or dismayed.
AM 660, theanswer.com is where we're at. The Rays are in the midst of a ball game today, the season opener.
If you call it that.
Yeah, the season opener for them. Maybe a long season for the Rays. We shall see. But anyway, they're going to be occupying the airwaves today. So if you're listening, we appreciate that very, very much. Perhaps this is one of the first times you've listened on the streaming signal, or perhaps you listen to us all the time on the streaming signal. But as you see, you get a much clearer signal listening to us this way. And we're up on the head cam. So you can go to our Facebook page, since you're already streaming, that's American Adversaries, when we have a break here, and tune in to Ustream.tv and dial in American Adversaries, or as I said, go to our Facebook page, American Adversaries, where we're linked up, and Lucas Paris has us up on the head cam. So you'll be
able to
not
only, a voyeur.
Yeah, you can not only hear us, but see us as well. And Nicholas Cicero is still on the bridge tonight, so if you want to be a part of the show, certainly we welcome you out there. 407-774-8255 is the number. Nostra Dennis will be joining us shortly as well. But for now, it's us and you, and our regulars who listen to us in their cars probably are having to are probably listening to the Rays today. But we will be back up on the airwaves tomorrow. And when the next one of these days rolls around, and it won't be for a while, I don't believe for the rest of this month, but when the next one rolls around, we'll let you know ahead of time so that you can be listening as we stream. And don't forget, you can go to iTunes Radio, you can go to AmericanAdversariesRadio.com and download the free app so that you can listen to us streaming on your smart device. And of course, when you subscribe at iTunes, when we put the show up on our archive, in our archive, it will be put into your smart device automatically as well, is what I understand to be the case. Before we really get rolling here, just a couple of things. First, remember, tomorrow is Tuesday. Well, what's the big deal about Tuesday? That means it's free tune-up Tuesday at Refresh Computers. If you're listening on your computer right now, maybe that thing needs a little tuning up. So haul it on down to Refresh Computers tomorrow or any Tuesday and tell them you heard about it on the American Adversaries. And, of course, they'll tune it up for you for free as you wait. David Levitt told us it usually takes a couple hours or less. And, of course, you can use that time to browse around the store and see what kind of goodies you might want to add to that computer. Or maybe start doing a little daydreaming for Christmas or something when you want to get a new computer. But if you need
a new
computer.
They won't put the big sales pitch on you, folks. No, they're very casual about it there.
Yeah, they're technicians, and they're there to help you and just get you into the system that you want, the one that you're most comfortable with. And David Levitt is a great guy, and he's very helpful. The phone number there is 407-478-8200. 478-8200. That's Refresh Computers on 434 in Longwood between 1792 and Ronald Reagan Boulevard. Free tune-up Tuesday.
And if you feel like getting or talking politics with David, bring it up. He'll talk to you about anything political.
Okay. All right. So do take advantage of that and get that computer that you're listening to us on right now tuned up for free. Okay. Well, we're going to go ahead and do a regular show. It is, even though it's streaming, it's still live radio. As I said, you can be a part of the show. But I want to bring up, first of all, an article that I saw in Saturday's paper. You know, Saturday oftentimes has some of the more interesting articles. Maybe it's just because at the end of the week more interesting news happens. I don't know. Maybe it's because on Saturdays they know that in the newspaper circles that's the
politics. Least, that's when you bury it.
Well, that's the least read paper of the week. Least read newspaper of the week happens to be the Saturday edition, evidently. And so in this past Saturday's edition, there's this story on the front page of the Sentinel. Longwood Bakery hit with barrage of threats for refusal to bake anti-gay cake for evangelist. This is a baker named, her name is Sharon Haller at Cut the Cake Bakery. Do you know where that is, Larry? You live over in the Longwood.
Longwood, never heard of that.
Cut the Cake Bakery. I've never.
They have an address on there?
No, they don't have it in the paper here. I don't believe. But evidently, the call came from Arizona, an evangelist in Arizona who's known for doing this sort of thing. His name is Joshua Feuerstein, I think it is. Feuerstein. Joshua Feuerstein, as I said, does this to try to bring, you know, awareness, if you will, to his point of view. And, of course, what happened was he wanted a cake baked with on it a sheet cake. I guess a sheet cake is like
it's
what,
a one-layer
cake?
It's a one-layer flat cake, usually done in a cookie pan.
Okay, all right. And first when they said sheet cake, I thought, of course, was KKK, but that's not the case. This is a particular type of cake, right? A sheet cake. But on the sheet cake, in the icing, they wanted it to say, "We do not support gay marriage." And when the caller said that to Ms. Haller, she said, "Is this a crank call?" And the caller said, "No, we wouldn't do that. Sorry," she said, and hung up on him. This guy Feuerstein made a little video, about a 4-minute video, criticizing her and her bakery, and calling her anti-Christian, and encouraging people to call her up and harass her. His response to what has been going on in Indiana over this religious freedom restoration bill, and it. Of course, has gone down, so to speak, in flames. As a matter of fact, it may turn out now that this religious freedom bill, in its modified version, makes the problem worse from the standpoint of Christians. In other words, it makes it easier now for them to get sued rather than more difficult.
Well, Chris, so many people have been hijacked on this particular cause because it's really nothing more than just a block to get people from thinking about what's happening with Iran, what's happening with Hillary, etc. What you don't understand about this bill was meant to protect everybody. Now, If you are a gay bakery and you and somebody comes to you and says, I want you to do an anti-gay rally. I want this. I want you to put all over the baked goods. I hate gays, queers, whatever, on everything there. Well, before, if you think about anti-discrimination laws, you'd have to do that. If you're a black person and a member of the Ku Klux Klan comes to your bakery and says, I want you to bake cakes for our Ku Klux Klan rally. I'm sorry. If you're going to be anti-discriminatory, you by law have to do that. So this law is recognizing the fact that there are certain times when discrimination is necessary.
Well, it's as you said, the bill was meant to protect everyone. In the end, it's going to probably have the opposite effect.
Yes.
And this is something that I've talked about repeatedly on the show. What I call one of the perverse rules of politics is that the effect of legislation, more often than not, and I don't care who drew it up, whether you're conservative, liberal, or communist, the effect of the legislation, more often than not, has the reverse effect than the intended
mm-hmm.
effect.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And so that's what's going to end up happening here. And to get back to this guy, though, he was trying to make the point that you're alluding to, and he actually may have violated the law because it was part of his video. Evidently, he recorded the phone call that he made initially where the lady turned him down.
The phone call, not a video, he recorded.
Yeah, but
that's
you're not
illegal.
Allowed to do that. Well, you can do it, but you better not, you know, publish it. And so what he did was publish it, and so he may be in trouble for that. Obviously, this is not going to get picked up by the mainstream media, though. And once again, this gets back to my original point of why it's in the Saturday paper, and nothing else will come of it, is because clumsy as it is, he's making a pretty good point. And that is what you were saying.
Yes.
And it's obviously that's not politically correct. So that's not what's going to be what the media harps on and what the politicians drive.
Tammy Bruce, the lesbian talk show host, you know, has really laid this out so well by saying to her fellow gay practitioners, look, folks, you are drawing attention to us for a situation we don't want.
Yeah.
We don't want this fight.
And
and getting drawn in the middle and looking bad over it.
The problem for her is there are a lot of gays out there, and in particular politicians
mm-hmm.
who do want this fight. And
the head of Apple,
the and Democrats,
the gay head of Apple,
and Democrats. You know, it's the news cause de jour. It's their new civil rights cause. You know, it's been elevated to this high grand status of all. You know,
it's
awesome.
Manipulation, Chris. It's to get us off of Hillary and Iran.
Well, it's that, but you have to admit, you know, it's the Republicans who brought this up by pushing these bills through, and I'll talk about that side of the equation when we come back from the break. Okay, as I said, thank you for listening to us tonight. If you want to be a part of the show, 407-774-8255 is still the number. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We are back. We are the American Adversaries, and it is still drive time. And once again, we want to thank you for listening to us on AM660TheAnswer.com or on your smart device via iTunes or one of them other apps you've downloaded. Lair Adams, Christopher Hart in the studio with you. We are up on the head cam, thanks to Lucas Paris. So if you're listening on your computer, you can go on our American Adversaries Facebook page, and we're linked up there, and you can see what we do in the studio here. Nick LeCicero's on the bridge. Nostra Dennis will be joining us shortly. Before we get back to the conversation, I just want to remind you, and I'll give you reminders up all during the week, but the Power of Family 5K Run in Lake Helen is this Saturday, and we're going to be there as one of the sponsors, and we'd love to have y'all come out and be a part of this run. It's to benefit the Power Volleyball Academy in Lake Helen, And if you want to pre-register, you can do that by going to run4acause.org. That's run4acause.org, or just show up the day of the race at the Power Volleyball Academy, which is at 565 Lakeview Drive, Lake Helen. 565 Lakeview Drive, Lake Helen.
Chris, how are you at volleyball?
Saturday. I never did, was good at it. Didn't like whacking that ball with my bare hands. Never did like soccer either.
No, I was never a soccer person.
Yeah, I didn't like whacking that ball with my bare head. So
I had no problem with that windmill kick, you know, spinning upside down, and gravity works.
Well, my arms are kind of bony, you know. They're skinny and bony, and so hitting that soccer ball kind of hurt, you know. I mean, not soccer ball, I mean the volleyball. Anyway, 8 a.m. is the registration. Come on out and join us. It's going to be a lot of fun. Should be a great day for a run. And that's going to be this Saturday. All right, back to this this thing with the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. The cause, if you will, the purpose was noble, but the attempt was very clumsy. The Republicans bumbled through this whole thing. They acted as though, and evidently they were literally shocked and surprised by the response that they got to the thing, because they had to go back and retool it, right? They couldn't defend it. They immediately had to go back and retool the thing, and now have made it basically into the opposite of what they intended it to be in the first doggone place. I mean, this is stupidity. And you can't blame this on the liberals. I mean, they didn't bring this up. It was Republicans in Indiana that did. And as I said, the cause, the purpose may have been noble, but you got to know what you're doing, or you're going to get bludgeoned in this sport. That's one reason.
Clumsy.
Very. You know, that's one reason why I say politics like professional wrestling. You know, we can sit here and say, it's fake. Yeah, they know what they're doing. Yeah, but if you get in that ring and you don't know what you're doing, they're going to beat the hell out of you.
You're going to get hurt.
You're
going to
get hurt badly. Absolutely. You're going to know that it ain't fake. And in that sense. And so the Republicans got whooped. They just got pummeled. And Pence has probably ruined his chances, if he had any, of being president over this, at least this time around. He may get some sympathy vote from some evangelicals, but the Democrats will eat him alive. They've shown that they can do it. If they're going to go down this road, they need to do this very thoughtfully, not only in writing the legislation, but in planning a response when they hit, you know, the stone wall, so to speak, which is going to be liberals. You know, any time that they bring up anything that has to do with abortion, gays, blacks, you know that it's going to get the automatic opposition of you're hateful, you're discriminatory, you're a bigot. All of that's going to come as part of the argument against your political position. So you had better doggone be ready with a response that fits what you're trying to do. And obviously they did not have one. Did not have one in Arkansas either.
Nope.
They had to retool that one. And I presume that the legislatures in Louisiana and other states where they're taking these bills up are having to rethink it too. And it's I think it's pretty obvious that part of this was a political move by Republicans to get people fired up for the election next year. They're not above doing
Good
stuff
point.
Like that. And I believe that
they're just so clumsy at it.
Exactly. I mean, not only did they screw up
so bad
a good intended bill, but they also screwed up the political advantage they may have gotten from it. I mean, if this is the best they could do, I guess we deserve what we get with the Democrats, right? But this is why we need somebody who knows how to, quote unquote, play the game. And this brings me back to Ted Cruz and the way he gets criticized by Republicans for, quote unquote, knowing how to play the game. See, I think that playing the game means outsmarting your opponents, so to speak. Not necessarily.
Rather than giving in to them.
Right, exactly. I was just going to say, rather than giving in to their tactics or their ploys or something, outsmarting them. Knowing that they're going to do that, it makes the job a little bit easier because it's predictable. This response to this bill should have been predictable to Mike Pence. If he had any designs on running for president, he should have known that this would have come up against strong opposition. And well, yet he acted like he wasn't ready for it.
Well, it's almost like, even with both parties, it's almost like throw it and see where it sticks politics. But the Obama administration has done a lot of that, too, and both sides are guilty of it.
Well, sure, but the Democrats can get away with it. The Republicans can't.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. But that's predictable. When you know the lay of the land, so to speak, when you know the battlefield, when you know what you're up against, you should be able to devise a strategy to use that to your advantage. And yet they get beat over and over and over again, like they never learn. They never learn. And having said that, though, I thought Ted Cruz's response was a good one. He basically didn't get into the particulars of the bill, but said, you know, we need to have a balance. In essence, I'm paraphrasing and reducing into one word what he said. But he said, look, you know, if you're going to have gay rights, you got to have Christian rights, too. And it's a two-way street. Rights are two-way streets. They just can't go one way. And but as Republicans close in on 2016 and some of these guys running for president try things like this, they just better be very careful because it may push them ahead in the race, and it may ruin the race, end it for
them.
That's
how you clean it out.
And that is. So I think if nothing else, we probably can now eliminate one presidential candidate on the Republican side in the name of Mike Pence. And it's a shame, but he's obviously didn't know what he was doing. I can't characterize it any other way. You know, when you have to go back to the drawing board and basically end up with a terrible bill, man.
That you basically admit is a terrible bill.
Yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous. It goes back to your opening remarks about Obama. Saying, yeah, he could have got a better deal.
Yep.
Well, why didn't you get a better deal then? I mean, come on. That's been part of our argument all along, is that this wasn't a very good deal. And
now he's offended, Chris.
Yeah.
He's offended that we don't trust him. He's lied to us consistently about everything, and he's offended we don't trust him this time that he's got the best deal America can get.
Well, not only that, but he has also undermined trust in America. And now he needs that trust in America, right? He needs America's word to be good. And yet, all along, he has undermined that by his criticisms of George Bush, even before he was president, undermining the integrity of the government and its decision-making processes and how it can keep its word. And now, of course, he wants the benefit of that.
And undermining the military.
Exactly. All that in the process. But now he wants the benefit of all that. It's the old cake. You want the cake and be able to eat it, too. You just can't do that. Not in this world, anyway. All right. Even though we're on the net, we still have to take breaks. Don't we, Nick? We still have to take breaks? Yeah, we still have to take breaks. We're coming up on one now.
Yeah, let's go to the bar. No, not that kind of a break. Not at all.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
Folks, the American Adversaries is here 6 days a week.
Yeah.
That's right, Sunday nights from 5 to 8, and during the week, 5 to 6. We'll be here for another half hour, so do not go away, all of you streamers, because we're streaming live right to your door.
AM660, The Answer.
Here is tonight's American Adversaries Soundbite RX News Minute. SoundbiteRx.com, a great way to be better informed. Today's Soundbite RX News Minute is brought to you by My Liberty Threads. American made, America proud. MyLibertyThreads.com.
Hi, this is Christopher Hart once again for SoundbiteRx.com, where you can find a lot of great news stories each and every day, like this one right here. A French foreign minister says that the United States caved in the Iranian nuclear talks. Tell us something we don't know, but you'll find out the details anyway at SoundbiteRx.com. An ex-IRS ethics attorney has been disbarred. Why? Ethics violations. Why else? That's a new one today, too. Also this, the big Rushbow himself says that Democrats hate Christianity and are waging war on it. I don't know about Democrats, but certainly liberals, I would agree with that. A deal with Iran built on lies? Well, tell us something else we don't know, but you'll find the details brand new today. Also, Benghazi, Bergdahl, and the bomb. That story brand new today at soundbiterx.com. Also this, Joe Scarborough, who's, of course, the morning co-host of the morning joke, is running, or may run, for Senate. And guess what? He doesn't think Hillary can win. But you can win by going to soundbiterx.com. It's good medicine. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show once again, folks. Thanks for being with us tonight. And don't forget, we'll be back up on the airwaves tomorrow night. And, of course, always, you can listen to our shows on our archive at any time simply by going to AmericanAdversariesRadio.com, where you can also enlist in our American Adversaries Army. If you're listening on the Internet now, you know it's real easy to do that. Just go to our webpage, as I said, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com, find the recruiting office, and it's real easy to sign up. And for just $5 a month, you'll get a great newsletter. The next one is going to be coming out in here in just a couple of days. We're putting the finishing touches on it right now. And you'll also, as part of the newsletter, get not just stories and stuff that we're writing, but you'll also stuff that we, you know, aren't putting on the air, or perhaps it is, but we'll put it in a different format. Also, you'll get great coupons and discounts from a lot of our sponsors. So please go to AmericanAdversariesRadio.com and enlist in the American Adversaries Army and help us as we wage war against the lies and the liars out there. Okay. Nostradamus is going to join us here in just a couple of minutes. Looks like we have him already on the line, so let's go to Nostradamus. Nostradamus, how you be doing over to headquarters today?
I am well. I am happy. It was a wonderful Easter weekend for me. I hope it was for you guys too.
Yes, it was.
I hate to throw some cold water on it, but it looks like I was wrong. Looks like Hillary Clinton is going to run. She has leased in New York a couple of floors in an office building.
That's just for Bill.
Yeah.
And his little liaisons.
Yeah. He's already got that set up. He don't need any help there. But, and she's hiring staff, so it looks like she's in, man.
Is there any word on whether there are any books in that office? Have you heard about how Hillary and books play into the latest stories?
No. How's that? You mean she got boxes and boxes of books that was never sold of her biography or whatever that was?
That might be it. No. Apparently, someone is writing a story about the Clintons and is interviewing people who worked in the White House. And more than one of them have said that Hillary, more than once, threw books inside the White House at Bill. We all know the story of the lamp being smashed against the wall.
Yeah.
But apparently the books in the bedroom have been tossed around on more than one occasion. So she literally threw the book at him.
Can you imagine Bill Clinton, you know, dodging and swatting books away as she's chucking them at him?
What are you doing, honey? I didn't do anything. What's going on?
I promise I'll never do it again.
Jeez. That's what you said the last 400 times.
Well, first things first, guys. I have some information on this place you're talking about, Cut the Cake.
Yeah, in Longwood.
I don't want to give them any free advertising, and here's why. Because after this whole thing erupted over the weekend, they put out a GoFundMe fundraiser that brought them in $13,000, which tells me that we all should get together, the American Adversaries, and either offend or be offended by someone really, really quickly.
Well, that's just it. You have to be the victim in all this, I guess. I don't know, up in Indiana, that pizza place in Indiana, and I think their GoFundMe account now is up to like $800,000.
Yeah, the problem is they haven't reopened yet because there's still there's police activity involved because they were threatened that the building would be bombed.
Well, when you got $800,000, who the hell wants to reopen? I mean, just take the money and run, right?
You can buy your own pizza. Here's the funny thing about this cake place in Longwood.
Yeah.
It's on 1792. It's south of 434. It's just east of Longwood's Lake Ferry.
That's near me.
Ferry. Near Lake Ferry?
I live near Lake Ferry, Dennis. Yes, I do. What do you want to make of it?
Nothing at all. Nothing at all, sir.
It's relaxing there.
I'm not even going to begin to ask why that lake was named Lake Ferry.
Not that there's anything wrong with living there.
There's nothing. Every time I drive by, I start to get a lift. I just don't stand it.
So they're up to 8,000 now?
They are up to, yes. They are, hang on, let me first this open here. I've already crumpled it off.
Maybe we can bribe some Muslim to, call up here and threaten us or something.
They are up to $13,000 in their GoFundMe campaign, which they recently suspended. So for now, they think they've gotten enough money.
Ah, gee whiz. Oh, girl. Clumsy as it was, as I said, this was not a good thing for this evangelist to do. it's what I call the assassin's mentality. The assassin thinks that if he kills this individual, it's going to end that individual's sort of power or reign. But oftentimes, all it does is martyr them and make them even more powerful. You know what I'm saying?
And it perpetuates, because then the assassin's victim is going to have friends, neighbors, relatives who are going to come after him.
Yeah.
It's just going to build on itself.
Yeah. And this is the phenomena we see playing out here. But it's getting bizarre. That's a thought anyway.
Hey, Dennis, I got a kind of a silly question for you.
Yeah.
When you take a shower, how long do you spend in the shower, Dennis? I mean, do you have a timer?
It's funny you should ask that. Why? Are you trying to get a gauge of what's normal and what's average? Or
well, Dennis, when it comes
political behind this,
Dennis, when it comes to my life, the word normal doesn't exactly apply anywhere.
Yeah, he's just worried because one of his brothers lives in California, and he wants to make sure that when he
gets a decent shower, he can stink.
That's right.
Sometimes,
as Lair likes to mention a lot of times, George Orwell, of course, had the thought police. And if you remember that Cheap Trick song they sang about the Dream Police, well, Governor Moonbeam, I think, is instituting the Shower Police. And so, sign me up. I want to be a detective.
I don't know about that.
Does that make him a showerhead?
It sure does.
Yeah, just remember, detectives have to investigate all crimes, not just the pretty ones, okay?
Well, we got to go where no man has gone before in some cases, so we will.
He is implementing these very strict water restrictions on both personal and business use in California. Farmers are exempt for the most part. But a lot of the problem goes back to things that he opposed in the past in terms of water projects that the state of California and the Army Corps of Engineers had worked up to foreseeing instances like this, when you would have more water in one part of the state than the other, because it's a very big state, especially when you measure it north to south.
Yeah, when you stretch it out.
Exactly. And they know that the north has a much different climate than the south every year. And so what they wanted to do was make it easier to transfer water from one part of the state to the other. Of course, big old Moonbeam was against that because he didn't want any precious dirt turned over. And now they can still do it. They have to pipe it, though, and they have to pump it through pumping stations. And now they can't do that because of the doggone smelts and these other doggone little fish. Minute quantities in their overall population, minute quantities would actually be affected by the pumping. So what they do is, instead of pumping the water, they still pump it, but instead of pumping it from North California to Southern California, they pump it into the ocean, fresh water.
Well, and Chris, too, you got to remember that it's much more important to have a failed rail system that no one will use and put a ton of money into that rather than desalinization.
Yeah, of course, he's talking about high-speed rail. Nostradamus.
Yeah, there were infrastructure ideas brought to new Governor Moonbeam, not during his first term, but during this current regime.
I'm sorry.
And they brought to him that we could do these things and it could help conserve, it could help save, and he decided he didn't want to spend that money on that type of infrastructure. And now that decision, those decisions, because more than once these things have been brought to him, he decided not to do that. It's coming back to bite him.
Did you say that a liberal Democrat governor turned down infrastructure spending?
Spending money on things that he decided could be spent on other things, such as increasing welfare, such as increasing entitlements for the members of the state.
But and buying votes.
And is, yeah, exactly. But isn't it his president who's been going around saying we need to increase spending on infrastructure?
I guess so. He's all our president.
What happened to those shovel-ready jobs, Dennis?
Yeah, well, he didn't want them, I guess, in California.
No, apparently not.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, but that's, you know, that's the liberal mentality. It will get you in trouble every time. Speaking of getting in trouble, I want to kind of come back to this, but I want to talk about this Rolling Stone article real quick. You remember we talked about this a while back where they talked about this gang rape up at the University of Virginia. And
a Rolling Stone gathers no truth.
There you go. The article at the time, you know, was highly disputed, and we talked about it, I believe, on a Sunday night show, and talked about what I called template journalism is what the woman did who wrote the article, and evidently nobody at the Rolling Stone really scrutinized it. And there was a Columbia Graduate School of Journalism did a study on it and really sort of tore the stone apart for basically not practicing any form of journalism.
Well, you know, Columbia is really, that's a refuge of conservatism. So, you know, they're really coming at it from a right-wing point of view. Oh, wait, no. Columbia is about as liberal as you can get. And they're tearing up Rolling Stone for not being a journalistic enterprise. And, it really never has been. The most journalism research they've ever done is digging into rock stars' pasts and talking to the people they slept with when they were teenagers.
And finding good marijuana.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of the liberals' version of the Inquirer, the National Enquirer, right?
Well, and the one thing
where they get the dirt stories on the actors, those are usually right, but the rest of it's just mostly BS.
Yeah, and you'll remember General McChrystal had to step down after remarks made in an article with Rolling Stone. So now I'm wondering how right on the comments he made were.
Well, and again, they're not going to fire this girl. They're going to keep her on. And she's made her apology, but she failed in her apology to apologize to one group of people. The people she lied about, the rapist. She has yet to apologize to any of these people that she was claiming had raped some poor woman, and it was all a lie. But yeah, she won't apologize for it.
No, because in her mind, they're still guilty, even if they didn't do it.
They have penises.
Exactly. And so that's why the template journalism, the facts never mattered to the woman. They never mattered. She simply got caught at it. Dennis.
To quote the Duke men's lacrosse team, where do we go to get our reputation back?
Yeah.
And you know, the phrase template journalism really is, that's a succinct description of what this is. Because if you take a template, you take a piece of paper and you cut little things out of it and you only read what comes up underneath those little holes you've cut out, you're getting so little of the story, but you're getting the only parts of the story you want to read.
That the person wants you to read. Exactly.
Right, correct.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Well, she got caught on it. The problem is, as you say, Rolling Stone is hardly a real journalistic magazine. But this will go down as an isolated incident. You watch and see. But we're not going to treat it that way. Don't go away, folks. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show, folks. That's right. You are listening to the American Adversaries. We're going to talk a little dirty laundry with you right now. We got a couple of sort of dirty laundry stories. Nostra Dennis is still with us. Lair Adams, Christopher Hart in the studio. Lucas Paris has us up on the head cam. Go to American Adversaries at Facebook and see us there. Nostra Dennis, let's start with the Final Four story. You know, this whole Final Four has gotten even more bizarre. Of course, you have the outside story, if you will, going on around this gay Christian whatever hoopla with the governor's bill. And I guess protesters showed up at the Final Four games the other night. But then you have the inside controversy going on now.
Yeah, the Final Four is in Indianapolis, and of course, Indiana just signed into bill that law that Governor Pence is trying to soften the blow and trying to pull back from a little bit. But yeah, that has kind of subsided in the face of, on national TV, a basketball player from the losing University of Kentucky, formerly undefeated team this year, making a comment about a white player on Wisconsin, the team that beat him. And without being too dirty, I'll just say he said F that N-word under his breath. He thought it wasn't going to be on camera. It ended up being broadcast to the entire nation.
Yeah, evidently.
He said that about a white kid?
Yeah, what happened?
He said that about a white kid, yes.
Yeah, this was after the game. They had just...
Is this a black kid that said that about a white kid?
Yes.
The black kid called the white kid the N-word.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, Kentucky basketball player Andrew Harrison, he's one of two twins on the team. So he could have blamed it on his brother, but no, he didn't.
No.
He apologized afterwards, but he was asked a question about whether Frank Kaminsky, whose nickname is Frank the Tank, was a factor in the game, and he muttered under his breath with his hand covering his mouth, F that N-word.
Yeah.
He apologized afterwards for his poor choice of words. He said that
and
Frank the Tank know each other. They've played against each other. They are friends, and he wishes them well in the finals. And for his part, Kaminsky said, hey, it's no big deal. Yeah, I've gone past it. No big deal.
Yeah, I think he was standing next to someone else who had been asked that question, and he muttered it sort of to himself.
That's right.
Yes. Where's Al Sharpton, guys?
But he muttered it in front of the live mic with a camera rolling on nationwide. Would you think that venue is kind of worse than being videotaped with a bunch of your jerky friends in the Oklahoma frat club? You know, I mean, both of them were disrespectful. They were highly offensive. But that kid, that white guy who muttered the N-word, ended up getting expelled from school. And his chapter of the frat got closed.
Yeah. And by the way, he's since apologized and was forgiven by a number of black people in that community.
Also, he was basically just saying the words of a black rapper's song.
Exactly. He was mimicking that. You know, in both of these instances, what I see is, how should I say this?
Immaturity.
Well, not only immaturity, but the ridiculousness of one word having such great, if you will, impact. It's an offensive word, but it's a word. Yeah, you know, I always think of that old little rhyme, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. I mean, it only hurts you if you let it.
And
obviously the white kid didn't let the word hurt him. It rolled off of him. Black people would be a whole lot better served if they would just laugh when they hear the word coming from a white person, because they know there's an ignorant white person, rather than taking great offense at it. Why do they so easily want to be victimized, I guess is what I'm asking here.
Because people use that word, Chris. They use that word for their own particular agenda. If they want to get upset with it, if they want to try to feign, you know...
If you ask me, it's probably white people who made the use of the word offensive, because black people use it regularly.
Sure. Yeah, you're right.
They use it in terms of both an insult and a term of endearment.
Yes.
And I remember going into a Subway once in Tampa. I was over there. This was probably 15 years ago. And I went into a Subway, and there was a black girl behind the counter.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a black fella at the counter ordering a sandwich. And he was obviously trying to impress her. Okay. Well, he didn't know I had come in. And he was using the N-word left and right. And she kept glancing at me and looking at him, you know, kind of trying to warn him, there's a white guy in here. And he finally turned around and looked at me, and he quit using the word. But he was using it both to insult his rivals, who were after the girl's favor too.
Yeah.
But he was using it against him to endear himself with her. Come on. This is obviously the black guy didn't think much of using the word. And he obviously probably doesn't care if it's used against him. And the white guy didn't care. Maybe there's a big lesson in all of this that we're somehow all missing. You think, Nostradamus?
Yeah, well, it's out of place, of course, when a black guy uses that term on a white guy. It's kind of just bizarre. When a white guy uses it on a black guy, well, it's racism. When a black guy uses it on a black guy, well, it's just That's just the way those people talk, which that attitude, I think, is racist.
It absolutely is.
Guys, the most wonderful discussion of this, the guy that's the king of it is Dave Chappelle. His episode where he played a black blind guy that was raised as a white racist, thinking he was a white racist, and he's spewing all this racist things towards all these people he thinks are black, which turns out, and they drive up to a light. And these white kids in the car next to him, the radio too high, and he says, "Turn that radio down, you!" And he uses the N-word. And both kids look at themselves shocked and thinking, "Wow, he called us the N-word." And they were so pleased with themselves.
Yep.
And it was perfect, the point he was trying to make.
Yeah, which is that it's just a word, for heaven's sake.
And sticking with the world of comedy, you guys are old enough, I know I am, to remember the comedian Lenny Bruce, who was a social commentator than a comedian.
Yeah.
Much of what he said wasn't ha-ha funny, but it was make you think funny.
It's kind of how he lost his career.
Where he just repeated the N-word 15 times in a row and then said, "Yeah, you might want to know why I said that. If you say it often enough, it's going to lose all meaning."
That's, I guess, what I'm trying.
We've been saying it for millions of times in this country.
Well,
so far, it hasn't lost its meaning, but it's developed lots of different meanings.
You're right. And, Dennis, that's the same thing that's happening to people like Al Sharpton. If they bring this nonsense up often enough, after a while, they're totally meaningless. They're impotent.
They are to me, and I think more and more they're becoming so to more people.
Yeah. Well, I kind of have to agree with Lenny Bruce on this one. You know, it's the word only has that impact because we have designated it as so in our politically correct world. Let's run through this dirty laundry story. If you go into Venezuela, there's something you might want to pack in your suitcase, right, Nostra Dennis?
Yeah, and you know, this is not really a news story because people who visit South America have known for about the last two decades. When you go, it's probably a good idea to bring your own toilet paper because, A, they don't have much of it, and, B, what they have is in very short supply.
Probably has splinters in it.
Well, now it turns out they're blaming the CIA for the shortage of toilet paper in Venezuela.
It had to be them.
What they're saying is that, there's a stealth campaign against Venezuela with sanctions and embargoes that no one's talking about. And so because of that, we don't have toilet paper, and it's contraband. It's like a black market thing. And to me, I just think the environmental people should be happy because they've achieved the ideal of a paperless society, don't you think?
Yeah, Dennis, don't they have those big elephant ear plants over there?
Oh,
I mean, they got plenty of.
Yeah. Well, maybe we have now stumbled across on how Barack Obama can go back and get a better deal from the Iranians. Forget all those other sanctions. Just cut off their toilet paper supply. They'll come a crawling.
That could work. Well, you know
but that's okay. We'll send them lots of Roxy.
You know the story about the guy who ran out of toilet paper? His friend said, "Well, use a dollar." And he came out and his hands were all soiled. And he said, "What happened?" They said, "Have you ever tried to do that with three quarters, two dimes, and a nickel?"
Or what about the guy that his mom got him one of those new toilet brushes, you know, those things for cleaning your toilet?
Oh,
he wasn't sure what to do with it, and he gave it to her, and he gave it back. He said, "Mom, I'm sorry. I don't want to give up toilet paper. This was too rough."
All right. Great work, Nostra Dennis. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Maybe people will hear us in the real world.
All right. Yeah, we'll be back up on the airwaves tomorrow, folks. Don't forget, you have been listening to the American Adversaries.
Streaming live. We're always alive. We're never recorded. We'll see you tomorrow in the real world.
Night, bye.
WORL Altamont Springs, Orlando. A service of Salem Communications. Intelligent, conservative. AM 660. The